Welcome to the Washington Defender Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, and we're in Roanoke Conference here in Ocean Shores, Washington. I have two special guests coming on. I have Michael, and I can't see your name tag, but it's
Livvy.
Livvy, there we go, Livvy. And so we are going to have a great conversation. Introduce yourselves to our audience today.
My name is Michael, and I'm just a farmer from the Rebel Alliance over on Eastern Washington.
I'm Livvy Meeker, and I'm same thing, just a farmer and truck driver and care about my community kind of person. So
that is awesome. I was actually raised on a farm in Yakima. So
oh, nice.
Yeah, so we had vineyards and cattle and that kind of thing. And in fact, they still own orchards down in that area, some cherries and
all that
kind of good stuff. Well, good.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad that you guys are farmers because we need that. Like, I like to eat.
Yes. It's statistically, it's a very scary time.
Right.
When some of the numbers, and I haven't looked these up for myself personally, but I hear my friends that listen to radio and follow stuff, you know, we're at a 70-year low for beef production here in the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's amazing how much of that beef is already contaminated with lots of hormones and lots of all this stuff. And
It's very scary, and it makes you wonder, if we're at a 70-year low, what are people eating?
Right.
That is a very, very scary. And having wandered all over the U.S., especially in the Midwest, I know we have corn and soybeans are hugely popular, but they're inedible.
Right.
Why did we mow down forest? You know, trees are giant carbon batteries. Why did we mow them all down to raise corn and soybean and something we can't eat, you know?
It is crazy.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. What topics are important to you? We got food over here?
Actually, same thing. Like, I actually got into, I grew up, you know, raising animals, going to the fairs for FFA and 4-H and stuff like that. And for quite some time, I honestly was what I called a forced vegan because anything meat related that I bought from a grocery store would just eat at my stomach and make me sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when we moved back over to Eastern Washington, I started, you know, most of our families and stuff are over there. So, and they grow their own gardens, their own meat, pig, sheep, cows, all that stuff. And I started eating with them and realized that I could actually eat and I had energy and I wasn't in pain and I wasn't getting sick. So the same situation, it's like some of the food we're getting in our stores now is toxic, but you know, I got into growing my own and I haven't felt this good in years.
Yeah. And I think you're being generous. I think most of our food in America is toxic.
It is.
You look at it and then, you know, what do you guys think about Bobby Kennedy and some of the stuff that he wants to do with the food?
Oh, man, 100%. The Coca-Cola thing already. I'm down.
It is.
Like, sugar cane it.
A job opportunity was down in McAllen, Texas. And there they moved rail cars. Mm-hmm. And it was one rail car every day that went to a Coke bottling facility. And a rail car holds, you know, over a couple they were using one rail car a day of high fructose corn syrup.
Wow.
Went to a Coca-Cola. And it's just like, that's massive. It's mind-boggling. And it's really, really disappointing and upsetting that our foods, you know, we used to have the USDA and a food stamp program where it was foods and people knew how to cook and there was commodities.
And words you understood, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was, and now it has turned into, and you know, and I don't know who, and I got to be careful at pointing fingers, but big lobbyists into grain and meat and whatnot, to where
absolutely,
we get to slide
absolutely
and swipe this card, and people can buy anything, whether it's healthy or not.
And I think for some of us who were raised on the farm, we ate everything, but what we didn't understand was, it was everything we raised. So when that whole transition, when we went from farming as our primary food source to the grocery store, in essence, you know, we stopped looking. And so my wife and I actually for 20 years have had this battle over food. And like, I bring it in, she throws it out. She just throws my, I'm like, you know, because she's looking for those ingredients. That,
throw it to the chickens. If the chickens will eat it, it's safe. If they won't, oh no.
That's right.
Our newest venture this year with stuff like that is we go to a lot of the farmers markets where it's like the people in our community that grow the same food.
Yeah.
And, you know, our community is going kind of turning back into like the barter system.
Right.
Like there's, it's not monetary, it's health food. And I have this, you have this.
Yeah.
But another thing that we've started doing over there is freeze drying.
Yeah.
Like
And that's 2%.
Yeah.
The statistically, if you purchase and if you consume something that came directly like from a farmer, you're 2% of America.
Right.
That is just okay, so that's rural America as we understand it. But then there was so much in the food chain that we don't understand, right. You know, and it's...
Well, what happened is they started trying to mass produce these foods, right? At very cheap, so to get the profit margin. So you start looking at different industries, and the profit margins have what driven the decision-making instead of having good moral foundation of, like, we want to put out a good food. But I think I think that pendulum is starting to swing the other way.
Oh, yes.
People are like, no, I'm not eating this junk anymore. I got to eat something much better.
Yes, and the fact that in Pennsylvania, where the Amish won, not only on a federal level, but a state level, Amos Miller, huge, that was amazing. That was awesome that I am so happy and proud and watched them and followed them, that they stood their ground, right. That, you know, we will not be held down. We are producing food, and they several big regulating agencies came at them and were like, no, this is all about safety. Okay, well, we're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
Show us a case where somebody was damaged or harmed. Not potentially, not theoretically, and it just wasn't there. And right. So, yes, I'm huge. I hope RFK, you know.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. I think that's definitely a positive move forward.
So I noticed that last week on the national stage, there has been a lot of debate about these the AI in our vaccines and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Or
the AI scares me for one really big reason, and that is I think we should have control over our own data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, absolutely. You're talking to somebody that this is a flip phone. Okay.
Right.
It does exactly what I want. It makes phone calls and I can text.
Right.
And the camera is something like an Etch-a-Sketch. That's how...
Right. You heard it, folks. He has an Etch-a-Sketch camera. So that's good.
So it is... And it's not that AI scares me. It is a fact that we have no regulation, nothing regulatory in front of it. And we were just talking in there how, you know, big businesses... So let's just briefly take Case IH... and John Deere. Mm-hmm. These are big farming.
Right.
And how do we know that they, or even who owns them, let's just hypothetically, and that I don't know it for a fact, but just this name, big BlackRock. Mm-hmm. What if BlackRock owns John Deere? And what if BlackRock owns Case IH? Mm-hmm. So they will know exactly with our modern tractors what is being planted.
Right.
How many acres of it. And as the combines harvest that all over the nation, they will actually know how much is there, what kind of production there is, and so they could actually get into a futures market,
right,
and manipulate and control a market and make and break something. Right. That scares me.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
deep absolutely. To my core worries, you know. Now, I'm a small local farm,
right,
that I just, you know, it's for me, my friends and family and stuff like that, our 4-H, our Grange.
Right.
So, but like on a big production level or on a, you know, worldwide level, it is, you know, it's terrifying. AI probably has some really good points, and I really believe that. But also, you know, with much power comes much responsibility.
Right.
How do we know that information is not being used? And they say it's a monopoly, and they ask a question in there, name one monopoly that, you know, the government got involved and, you know, broke it down into where there was actually competition, and nobody could name one, but actually, the Bell Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
But that was the first case, and then we've never heard of anything after that.
Exactly right. Well, it's been a delight to have you on today. Any closing remarks that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah. I mean, is the podcast like based out just here in Washington, or is that your major? Or
yeah,
okay.
So we run the Washington Defender podcast. So what we do is we have both an app, right? So you can listen to it through there, and then on, you know, Spotify, all the channels, Apple Podcasts, whatever, it doesn't matter. You can listen on there as well, and we just try to get the word out for grassroots to have their voice be heard. You know, like today we've had everything from vaccine concerns to abortion concerns to trans concerns to, you know, we have one lady, she's uniting the good, what do they call them? The old boy, no, the good old
boys club.
Yeah. And with Black Lives Matter. Uh-huh. And so she's like, her goal is unity between, you know, to bring people together. I mean, just all different yeah. different topics that we've had. So, yeah, that's what we do. And we just try to get the word out. Our you know, we hit a pretty broad spectrum of people, but, yeah, it's great. So great for having you on today.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, let me do my exit and we'll get off here. Well, if you haven't downloaded that Washington Defender app, I want to encourage you to do that at the Apple App Store or the Google Play. Also, like we like to say around here, go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.